Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Mino.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we discuss the onset of spring, the festival of colors to celebrate spring, and the consequences that women face during public festivities and celebrations in India.
We also try to understand the core of this problem and what we can possibly do as a society to see some incremental change.
So without further ado, let's jump right into the show.
You know, spring is finally here in Edinburgh and I'm loving it. I mean, not officially, I believe, because it's still kind of cold outside, but the sun is out, you know?
Well, your definition of spring in the UK or in Scotland is very different to
But the thing is, in December, like during the winters, it's been so bad. The sun goes down by like 3 p.m., 4 p.m. and it's dark. And now the sun actually rises at 6 in the morning and sets by 6:15. So it's like back home where there's pretty much like 12 hours of sun and it's light for longer and it's much better now.
But I remember when I was in the UK for around this time, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't really spring. It was spring for like a few days and then you'd have rain.
That's another thing about
Don't fool anybody.
Places like Edinburgh, it's like 2 days of spring, 1 day of summer.
Yeah, exactly. But at least in Czech Republic, we have the full 4 seasons.
Yeah.
So we see the full winter, we see spring, autumn. And it's nice to see just nature changing, like the leaves changing colors and everything.
And you also have proper snow and everything.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Not unfortunately. Like you said, it's nice to see nature and everything changing according to 4 seasons.
But when it's snowing, you can't get anything done, Ankita. But you saw how unproductive I was.
Yeah.
Because it gets so dark so early, you just want to sleep all the time. Like, my body was so confused. I wanted to eat dinner at 4 p.m. and
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you were born and raised in a Mediterranean country like Gibraltar, where it's so pleasant and nice that your body just cannot deal with this kind of cold.
And even 5 years on, Ankita, I still struggle. And I'm quite glad that I finished next year because I don't think I can deal any more of these winters.
But it's such a big change to me. Like, I like the cold. I would prefer the cold any day to the heat that I have experienced in the tropics. But you know how I know that it's spring or that there's a change coming and that everything's changing for the better?
What?
You know the seat that I sit at, the seat I'm sitting at right now while I'm talking to you, on the right side of my couch. And even when I Skype with you, I can see how the setting sun, it sort of reflects off of the window on the opposite building and it kind of blinds me, but it's so beautiful and so amazing.
And do you get that every day?
Every single day during spring and summer. It's like it's right on my face, but it's so beautiful. I don't mind at all because even if you step outside, it's going to be cold. But at least to know that the sun is out and that it's a sunny day outside.
Well, Ankita, when I was in Edinburgh, we ran outside to see the sunset.
Yeah.
Remember? Then there was nothing there.
But do you also remember that day when it started off as a sunny day and then it started snowing? And we thought, okay, it's snowing outside. Maybe we can go out because it was not too windy. It was not raining. It was just snow. And by the time I wore my like chappals, I decided to get out of the house. It had stopped snowing and it was raining. And we were like, what is this? What kind of mood swings?
But as you said, it just had all the 4 seasons in one day.
In one day. It was crazy.
But speaking of spring, now that we're here, India just celebrated Holi. And we all know that Holi is a festival of colors, and it's a festival to welcome spring and a new season into our life. And people spread the colors and they play around. And I read yesterday that a lot of the traditions in Holi go back to using the colors like neem and holi.
Yeah.
They say that it's good for your skin. Mm. I didn't know that. I only found out about this yesterday.
I didn't either.
Well, there you go.
I'm saying yeah as if I knew, but yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they use neem and haldi and a lot of colors. They say this is actually good for your skin. But obviously, we know that now it's a very different time where people are using fake colors and artificial colors, and that's why there's a problem with animals being affected.
Did you know that I was allergic to color growing up?
Oh, really?
But it was mostly food coloring. And I was worried that I wouldn't be able to play Holi because I didn't, as a kid, I didn't understand the concept. Everyone just said color allergy. So yeah. I couldn't have any kind of food items with artificial coloring in it. Like mango bite used to be a very common sweet, a candy that we used to get in India, but it had artificial coloring. So if I had mango bite, I would either fall sick, or I remember it started when I was in Mumbai. I was like 3 or 4 years old and I had jelly and it has artificial color in it. And I have a faint memory of not being able to walk, and I was in so much pain that my parents took me.
What kind of reaction did you have to that?
I basically couldn't set my feet on the floor. I couldn't walk. So my parents had to carry me. It was horrible. I was in
pain. Were you like paralyzed?
No,
like,
I was in pain. I was in physical pain.
Oh, you were just in a lot of pain?
A lot of physical pain.
But Ankita, that must have been quite difficult because...
how do you figure this out, right? Like how do you...
I'm just saying, like in India, a lot of things have artificial coloring.
Yeah, it was really hard. Up until the age of like 11 or 12, I couldn't have anything with artificial coloring in it. And because towards the end, like by the age of 10, 9, I would only fall sick. But... Initially, I would be in physical pain and I wouldn't be able to walk. So anyway, coming back to Holi, I used to think as a kid that I wouldn't be able to play Holi, but I hadn't. It had nothing to do with color on the outside. It was about food.
You're very lucky, Ankita. You know, it's just my dream of mine to play Holi one day. I've never played Holi before. There've been like some festivals over here. They call it the Festival of Colors. It's like a white Holi.
Believe that as a Punjabi, you've never played Holi?
Yeah, I've never played Holi, but our replacement in our family was like our mom would wake us up in the morning and she'd just put like tikka on us and like put a bit of haldi on our face.
Aww.
And she'd be like, okay, have a shower, go to school. Like that was our Holi.
But I feel that, you know, you were raised abroad, so you need to have that kind of a community that is ready to get together. And I was raised in Delhi, fortunately, I got a taste of the entire vibe of how everything just shuts down and people play Holi and adults and kids. And I actually remember how as kids we were such brats. I used to live in a colony where there were like multiple flats and all these like Air Force officers, Army officers, Naval officers, they lived together. And we would go to the rooftop of our building and we would fill up buckets with colored water. We would fill little balloons with colored water and we would start throwing it at people on the floor. I mean, on the ground.
Ankita, you've been evil since you were a child.
We were such brats, but not necessarily on people because we were kids. We wouldn't be able to aim and throw or anything, but on cars or whatever, we would just randomly throw it and then we'd get bored of it. So we'd start throwing it at each other.
So when you're playing Holi, and how does it work? Like, do you just wake up in the morning and go out and just play?
Ideally, so around the time of Holi, people can go out and purchase really cheap white clothes, which they wear for one day and then they discard so that, you know, you don't have to wear your own clothes when you play. And that's what we used to do. And mostly you get out of the house with all your colors and everything and your pitchkari.
And you're ready to. Well, there's actually a Holi festival on Saturday in Prague. I'm contemplating whether to go or not, but I might go just to see what they do because, you know, Ankita, sometimes it's just nice to be in that vibe of your culture.
But I must warn you that washing your hair and washing the color off your skin after that is going to be like after Holi, kids would come to class the next day or it would probably be on the weekend or something, but we would all be colored. Okay, we'll be so all funny. Pink or like
would you all look like Smurfs or avatars?
Mostly, you know, we were kids, but mostly our parents had such a hard time washing stuff out of our hair. And because we were kids, we would go play in the mud as well. Kind of disgusting. Yeah,
but Ankita, talking about Holi, I mean, obviously because I'm not in India, neither are you.
Yeah,
we are not fully involved in the whole celebration part.
I mean, the
of
last
it, but...
time I played Holi was what, when I was 9 years old. So it's been, can you do the math for me, please? 16 years? Yeah, it's been 16 years now.
So the thing is, Ankita, that because I've been sitting here in Prague, and of course I've been reading about people's celebration, and I've been talking to my family and friends in India about it, but a lot of the stories I've read online have been about how Holi isn't safe for women and isn't safe for animals, and it's just a whole different side of the story that we're seeing now, because yes, it is a celebration, and it is a time for a community to get together, and but it's a shame that even on a day like this, we still have to think about these things.
It's really unfortunate.
We have to think about, you know, women being groped, and we have to think about how women still have to complain about being sexually harassed.
Can I ask you if you watched the movie, I can't remember the name of the movie, the song Balam Pichkari with Ranbir Kapoor, Deepika Padukone.
Yeah.
It's a very famous, like, I danced to it, my cousins danced to it. But have you noticed the scene where he runs after her and then he smears her with color? And I always felt slightly uncomfortable with a scene where he directly sort of grabs her boob in the process. Now, you can say that it was, they were acting and he was running, she was running or whatever, but I just found it really weird that there is a scene where he's running after her and he's grabbing her and smearing her with color, but one hand actually does rest on her boob. Now,
I've never seen it, but that's very interesting.
That's one of the first things I noticed when I saw the song for the first time. And I remember...
So it's in the song. It's not in the movie.
It's in the song, yeah.
Okay.
And I remember noticing this the very first time I watched the song, although I liked the song a lot. And I just... We've been talking about media influences and how the youth get influenced by the things they see on social media or in our movies. I just wonder how many young boys may have tried to emulate the same thing and been like, "Bura na mano, holi hai."
Yeah, well, Ankita, the police last year, it's been recorded that the police received 35,890 complaint calls.
What?
Last year, just on Holi, okay?
Oh my God.
And obviously they were from women, for, you know, they were complaining about being harassed, or they were complaining about molestation and even rape. And the thing is that...
Oh my God.
Just like most statistics we get from India, these complaints are from urban areas. Now, we don't know the statistics and the complaints that people may have had in the rural areas, or people maybe who were too shy to call because people think their family will get a bad name, or again, it's a day of celebration, so why spoil the mood, or why spoil the vibe?
But 35,000, how much did you say? 35,000?
890, so almost 36,000.
36,000 complaints is not a small thing on...
You know, actually, that's bigger than the population of Gibraltar.
Are you being serious right now?
It's like the whole of Gibraltar complaining.
Oh my God.
About molestation, yeah.
Oh my God.
And Ankita, when we have a day of celebration, when we have a day of togetherness, and we're supposed to be building our bonds within our community and in our society, it just seems like the complete opposite is happening in a lot of areas. And I was just reading yesterday that in Delhi, some hostels in Delhi had to be locked down. And they told the girls that they cannot leave their hostels between Sunday and Monday.
So basically these girls didn't get to celebrate Holi? Is that what you're saying?
No, they weren't able to leave the house. The hostel, sorry.
Oh, Sunday and Monday, two whole days. Don't leave the hostel just because you might get molested. Is that why?
Yeah. And the thing is that one girl who was in Delhi University in one of the hostels, she tried to lodge a police case against a group of men who pelted her with water balloons. And they pelted her on her breasts and on her bum as well.
Right.
And she was obviously, like as anybody would be, she was deeply agitated and frustrated. So she called the police and she tried to lodge a complaint. And the police responded with, they cannot do anything because it's holy.
How irresponsible is that? And speaking of water balloons, I'm completely aware of how these... I have thrown water balloons when I was a kid. I just told you the story of how I used to fill up balloons with water. But there have been so many instances where people have filled these balloons with acid and thrown it at women they disliked or women.
But the thing is, Ankita, the most bizarre thing is that you can just buy this acid so easily.
Yeah, where is the restriction?
It's
yeah.
so easily available and it's so cheap as well.
Yeah.
That you people are just giving people weapons to attack people with. And, you know, in fact, just going back to this story I was telling you about the hostels in Delhi, there was a young girl from Edinburgh who was in Delhi on an exchange.
Really?
So maybe she's your neighbor.
it's actually interesting to me because I used to live in Delhi and now I'm living in Edinburgh.
Uh-huh. So she was an exchange student in Delhi and she was among one of the women who was locked in her student accommodation.
Hmm.
And this is something that I'm quoting from her interview. And she said, "It's a strange feeling to be completely unable to go out. I understand that Holi can be dangerous. There's big crowds and probably a risk of groping. And there's been a lot more men out on the streets over the past few days. So I think it would be better to avoid the crowds. But we're old enough to make our own decisions. It's quite degrading when we cannot even leave to grab a drink or grab any food."
You know what I find really interesting about this? I was out on the street celebrating New Year's, the Hogmanay that we have over here in Edinburgh. And I'm from Edinburgh. I live in Edinburgh, where this girl is from. And I'm experiencing her culture, and what it has given me is liberation, freedom. And I don't feel threatened by the crowds in Edinburgh. And no matter how stuck I was when I was trying to get back home after the festivities ended at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, I felt safe surrounded by all those people. But she is in Delhi, where I grew up, and she has actually been locked up in her hostel because it's considered to be unsafe for women to be outside, and she's experiencing something completely different.
But how ironic is it that on a day of celebration, you have to stay inside?
Just the women, you know, the boys can celebrate.
And the thing is that I think, Ankita, we were discussing a couple of days ago about this tradition that they have in Nepal.
Yeah.
And it's called, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it properly, but I think it's called Chaupadi or something like that.
Mm.
But it's to do with how when women are menstruating and they have to be completely isolated from their families and they're just left in a hut during their menstruation cycle. So whether it's 7 days or 10 days or however long it is.
Yeah.
And they're just left there. And, you know, there's a lot of cases where women have died because they've just been isolated. They're not fed. Snakes come in, bears come in, whatever. They're living in very rural areas and they're just taken away. Now, you're isolating women because they're on their period. And now over here, we're not isolating, but you're restricting women.
You're basically putting them in jail for...
Because it's holy.
Yeah, it's like punishing the women. What if they become victims later on?
But what is the difference between life in the village and life in Delhi then? Like, there's no difference.
Yeah, people think that just because they don't live in forests, they're not primitive anymore.
Wow, that was very well put. I couldn't put it better myself.
Seriously, I feel that in so many countries that are rich, like even financially, people think that they're not primitive simply because they're not living in forests or deserts anymore.
Well, the thing is that during Holi or during any festival, or just during in life, any time, boys and girls are always trying to take each other out, and they're trying to compete. So on Holi, you can see the guys trying to overpower.
No, you started mentioning these statistics and these numbers, and I had no idea that these numbers actually existed, because I was someone who grew up playing Holi, and I never thought of it as an unsafe thing for women because I was just like 8 or 9 years old at the time. But as a grown woman, when I look back, I do see how it could be considered to be unsafe for women. Because I remember when I was a kid, there was this thing that used to, because you mentioned competition, there used to be a kind of a competition between boys and girls during Holi, where they'd be like, whichever team, the girls are on one side and the boys are on one side. And whichever team takes out the other, they win. Mm. So it was like a license to smear each other with color, or a license to hold hands or touch each other or whatever. And I remember this particular story. I wasn't allowed to play, obviously, because I was too tiny. I was too small. This was something that the older kids played. And I heard from my friends who had siblings who played this game that later on the boys really played dirty this one time where they took kichad off the floor. They took dirt off the floor and like from the grass, the mud, and they mixed it with water and they started smearing it on the girls' faces. And obviously no one likes to be smeared with mud from the ground. So the girls were squealing and running around and the boys kind of won, but there was foul play. So I was thinking, even back then, somehow those boys thought it was okay to try and win that game by going so low. And there was, speaking of this competition, there's always this you know, way of trying to assert dominance. The boys' team had to win.
Well, and even just asserting, they try to assert their dominance through these things, through these acts of groping and molesting and touching, because they want to show that they're superior and they have the right to do whatever they want. But I feel like I just live in such a different world over here. I really feel that sometimes. I feel so disconnected from India, especially with all the stories that I read and all the experiences that I have here. It's just so different, Ankita. I was playing table tennis yesterday and my coach was just trying to show me how to play a specific shot.
Right.
And he was trying to explain it verbally, but obviously when you're playing sports, not everything can be done. It has to be done through actions.
Yeah.
And before he came up to show me, he asked, and he did it in such a very gentleman-like way. He did it so kindly. He just stood behind me and he said, "Meenal, is it okay if I put my hands on your shoulders just to show you the movement?"
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And so I started laughing. I was like, of course you can, you know, and the thing is, Ankita, he's like, I think he's maybe, what, 50 years old?
Yeah.
And I'm a 25-year-old. So obviously there are some boundaries that you have to have between a coach and the player. But with table tennis, obviously there's a lot of hip movement. So he said, "Can I put my hands just on your hips just to show you how to move?" And I was like, of course you can. You know, and I was like, wait, hold on, let me just suck my tummy in. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, he showed me how to do it. And he was asking me every single time. And I told him, I said, look, I don't mind. And I even said to him, I said, thank you for asking. It's very kind of you. In India, you would never find it.
Oh, can I tell you something that happened to me? Can I? Because you're talking about a coach and a teacher. This is when I was in school, there used to be a male teacher who, this was when I was around 10 or 11 years old, like fifth standard, sixth standard, right? This is in Trivandrum. And there used to be a male teacher who would come up to me and he always wanted to hold my hand. And even at that age, I was quite a naive child, but I immediately felt that this was not right. And I would try to sit in a different seat every time this guy had to come and teach or whatever, so that I wouldn't have to be anywhere close to him or he wouldn't feel encouraged to come and hold my hand. I don't know why I was feeling like the person who was doing something wrong. And I would try to position myself away. And my friends also knew about this, but he would one way or the other find his way to my seat and try to hold my hand. And it was so inappropriate, and there was literally no one who would try to understand this.
I was going to say that I'm pretty sure that if you did go and complain, nobody would believe you.
Yeah, nobody would believe me. I knew that too. Like how, and people would be like, "What's the harm? He's just your sir. He cares about you, and he's holding your hand. What's wrong with that?" What I was trying to communicate was that this is like a breach of boundaries with me.
You didn't feel comfortable.
I didn't feel comfortable, and I have a physical boundary, and this person was crossing it, and nobody understands that physical boundary back in India. And what I want to ask, especially now, is what is it with men and their lack of inhibition when it comes to, you know, public gatherings and celebrations and, you know, situations where everyone comes out to celebrate something?
Well, you're talking about celebration, Ankita, and we have problems in New Year's Eve in the incidents like in Bangalore, where women are groped and women are, and there's endless list
of
women.
I think we should actually explain what happened for anyone who doesn't have context about the Bangalore incident.
So you can go ahead, Ankita, because I think
you might just burst into flames.
I think I might just like crash this microphone against my laptop.
So basically what happened was 2017, everyone was out in the streets in Bangalore welcoming the new year, and girls were also out there with their friends, and A group of boys decided that it was okay for them to just move around from crowd to crowd, molesting and groping all the women who were out on the streets.
And just remember, it was all caught on camera as well.
Yeah.
So there is proof. Before anyone comes out and says, oh, but the girls were just saying that, they must have drank something.
Oh, no.
It's all on video.
Also, like, speaking of celebrations and public gatherings, I don't know if you heard this news, Meenal, but I read recently that a DU student, she was at a concert, and it was obviously dark in the concert, right? And she's standing there, it's really crowded, and a man groped her from behind. And finally, when she went back home, she noticed that there were semen stains on her dress.
What?
Yeah, there was semen on her dress, and she realized that the man had publicly masturbated onto her after he groped her.
Oh my god.
And
Ankita, you know, you just mentioned publicly masturbating. In psychology, we were studying that people actually do these things. You know, people masturbate in public, and people like to
show their body parts. Yeah,
yeah, like pull their genitals out in public because they get like an excitement from it.
Mm.
It's actually a psychological problem.
But, you know, she explained the setting as a dark, crowded place where most probably no one noticed him doing it. He did it without anyone noticing, but then he, you know, basically ejaculated onto her.
Oh my god, that is disgusting.
That is the most disturbing thing I have read in this past week. After the holy,
this is so bad. Like, usually you would say this is the most disturbing thing I've read in the past 5 months.
No, this is the past week.
The world is so bad, we say the past week.
Past week, past 2 days sometimes.
The past 24 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing, Ankita. I don't know why people think it's okay to act in such a manner in a social setting.
I personally think, Meenal, at least from what I've seen, because I was raised in India and I've seen a lot of this happening around me, I think that this starts from childhood. I think that it has a lot to do with the conditioning of these people, their brains, from the time they were little children.
Because when you say conditioning, do you mean from the parents or from school or from their society?
Parents, school, and society. So I'm coming to that because one of my readers of my blog, she recently commented on my blog saying that she came across a mother who told her son that girls tend to get better marks in exams only because they were good at mugging up their textbooks, and that boys were in fact the intelligent, superior beings, and that even if a girl got better marks than her son, he shouldn't feel inferior to her because at the end of the day, she was just a girl. And he, being the boy, is the one who actually understood the concept as opposed to the girl who mugged it up. And he was the one who was actually smart. And I can vouch for the fact that this mentality exists in India, Meenal, because I've heard it myself when I was a student in India. I remember this was also when I was in Delhi. I had really close friends who were boys, little boys. I was like, as I told you, 8 or 9 years old at the time. And they would also exude this attitude that, no, even if you get better marks than I do, I'm better because I'm the guy.
It's such a shame. It's disgusting that this kind of behavior is encouraged.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very sorry to bring religion and culture into this, but I think I have to.
Mm.
And the reason why I want to bring this in is because a lot of us are very proud, and even myself, don't get me wrong, we're proud of our religion and a religion that goes back many, many years.
Mm.
And I know for a fact that our teachings teach to teach everyone with equality and to teach everyone with the same light, that nobody deserves to be treated better.
They all teach love at the end of the day.
Yeah. And where is this when it comes to the realities of life? Like, why are those teachings not translated where it's really needed or when it really matters? You can't say that I'm going to go to the temple, I'm religious and I read all these books and I'm this and I'm that, when you can't treat people equally.
Well, most people tend to read their religious texts so that they can convince themselves by being born into a particular subset of society, they are superior to everyone else. So like the Christians like to believe that they are superior to everyone else, or the Hindus tend to believe that they are superior. The Muslims probably think they are superior. Everyone tries to read into their religious texts to convince themselves that by the chance of birth, they are superior. And the thing I told you about sons being told constantly that they are better than their female counterparts, this is very common, and I feel that it starts right there at home.
Yeah, and it starts off in some homes where the birth of a son is celebrated more than the birth of the daughter.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. I've seen it myself, even in Europe, Indian families and Pakistani families.
Even when it comes to, you know, getting marks or talking about their intelligence or about giving boys more freedom to go out and girls being restrained or boys being encouraged to study more and pursue science more and girls being told that they can do whatever they want with their lives, maybe get a degree, not get a degree because the end goal is to get married. And this idea that is passed on to boys, that when they are constantly told that they are intellectually, emotionally, and physically stronger than their female counterparts, that is where all of this starts.
Well, everything, I mean, just to remind our listeners, the question was, why do people think it's okay to act like this in a social setting? And Ankita, I completely agree with everything you've said, especially because a lot of kids grew up with this idea that they can behave this way and it's okay because they've got away with it for most of their life. And once again, we never generalize in everything we say. We're not trying to say that everybody acts this way or every man in India is like this. But I feel that sometimes when men see a woman, there's already a switch that is flicked in their head where they say, okay, she's a woman, I already have the upper hand.
Yeah, especially if they're raised with that mentality where I'm more intelligent just because I have a penis.
So already they have, it's like 1-0.
Yeah.
They already have 1 point. Now, if they see that the woman is wearing short clothes or exposing some of her skin, another switch is flicked because they show more vulnerability. They're exposing more of themselves.
Mm.
And then when they see if the woman is shorter or if it looks like she doesn't have the capacity to fight for herself, it flicks another switch. And it's so easy to flick these switches, Ankita, because they feel that as these switches are flicked, they can get away with more and more. And I've worked with a lot of men in India, in Europe, everywhere around the world. I mean, it's not like I've only spoken to men in India, so I don't have any tunnel vision here. But not everyone doesn't act this way. And I feel that if you're not educated or shown the right direction from a young age, it makes it very difficult to rewire your brain. Because obviously, as you go older and you experience more, your brain starts to mold itself. And when you're 20, 25, 30, you can't remold that. You can't rewire that. It's too difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
And imagine, if, you know, such a group of men, a group of these men who have been conditioned in this way, who grew up with this kind of conditioning, when they gather at a public setting to celebrate something, and when they see their quote-unquote weaker counterparts, as you described, and they see them having quote-unquote the audacity to come out and celebrate just like them, or to try to be their equals, I personally feel they somehow end up feeling threatened, and they feel the need to show these girls their strength and their superiority. And this kind of stems from their hurt egos and an unmanageable superiority complex. Like, how dare she be out in a man's world at this time of the night, attending a concert or going out for a drink with her friends, wearing that dress when I'm the one who should be privileged to do that. I'm the only one who's allowed to do that. How dare she come and challenge me?
The reason why some men think this way, that how dare she, how can she, why she? And it happens because I think a lot of the time boys have a lot of freedom at home, where if they're raised with sisters or with other women in the household, they know that they have the chance to be out at later times, or they know that they have the chance to spend more time with their friends. So for them, that's their like own little world.
Yeah.
And when they see someone else come into that, or someone else enjoying the same thing that they're enjoying, it starts hurting.
It's threatening to them because, again, we're not generalizing at all. All we're trying to do is make sense of this tendency in a lot of Indian men to act and behave without any inhibition when they see women doing exactly what they are doing, exactly where they're doing it, and at the same time as them. So imagine this, Meenal, if we both, it doesn't have to be just about boys and girls. It can be from a basic child's approach. It can be between two normal children. It can be you and me growing up in the same household. And if you are constantly told that, Meenal, no matter how much Ankita studies or how better she does during her exams, you are better than her. No matter what marks she scores, you are better than her. Even if she's doing well in sports, you are still better than her. And the teacher is just being lenient towards her. And you grow up believing, truly believing that you're better than me. Yeah.
Mm.
And at some point in life, you end up realizing that we're equals, or that maybe Ankita is doing better than me, and you will be so hurt, so betrayed, you will not be able to understand, comprehend it. And that is exactly what happens to these boys. So dear mothers and fathers, please stop filling your sons' heads with wrong ideas that they're superior or entitled, or that they deserve much more than girls just because they were born with a penis, because their fragile little egos won't be able to comprehend the fact that a woman can do exactly what they do. And this in turn, you know, hurts them so much that they end up acting like the scum of the earth, trying to establish their power or their superiority. They do all kinds of nonsense, just trying to make sure that their ego is not hurt any further.
And you know, just like you've sent your message out to mothers and fathers, I just want to send a message out to all the women, girls and ladies out there who are listening to us, and don't feel like you have to stay quiet. And this whole idea of keeping your family's honor shouldn't be your priority. The priority should be you. And never feel that your voice won't make a difference, because it will.
Yeah.
And if you don't speak up, you will only be bringing yourself an injustice.
Yeah. So if you have any stories about any of the topics we discussed over here, be it about Holi, be it about attending a conference or a concert, or about celebrating the New Year's Eve, whatever it is, if you have any stories to share with us, please do send them in to mail@desioutsiders.com, or you can send us a direct message on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, where you can find us at The Desi Outsiders.
So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we're the Desi Outsiders.